Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Welcome to the Small Business Fuel Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Wilson Jr., and I serve as the Area Director of the UGA Small Business Development Center at Georgia State University. And the purpose of this show is to provide relevant resources and essential information to small businesses in Georgia that helps you grow and succeed. This show is produced, recorded, and distributed on several social media and streaming platforms by our incredible resource partner, Business Radio X. So big shout out and thanks to them. And I'm excited today, of course, to join with me my favorite co-host, really my only co-host, but she's still my favorite co-host, Talisha Farrell Jackson, who's the small business specialist at the Georgia Department of Administrative Services. She's a small business cheerleader, advocate on their behalf, you know, working with contract specialists, procurement officers, and users. And really, again, your biggest advocate to doing business with the state of Georgia. Talisha, how are you today?
I'm doing very well. How are you? Happy New Year, Paul.
Awesome. Happy New Year. Yep, this is our first show of the year, so
it
great
is.
Great to be able to do this again.
Way to kick off the new year. We've got some exciting guests and some exciting news to share, so I'm excited. Everything
Absolutely.
Went well. You had a good holiday? Everything's good?
I did. I did. You know, I had to spend it with our families, you know, stayed safe. You know what I mean? But yeah, everything's well. And the year has started off busy, but it's busy because we're helping a lot of small businesses. So that's a good thing.
That is a wonderful thing. Well, let me share with you a little information about the guests who are joining us today, if you will.
Absolutely.
All righty. So, yeah, and I like that introduction. Thank you very much. That's right. Call me the cheerleader for small businesses, small business cheerleader.
Absolutely.
I need to get some pom-poms with like DOAS.
Exactly. And maybe we get some sound effects next time too, you know, like a crowd
yes.
cheering. We do that.
I'm going to have to talk to Business Radio X Stone about that.
Exactly.
Theme music. Alrighty. So today we have quite a few guests. We have three great guests from two different companies. And so I'd like to start off. I'll start off with one, and that would be Mr. Jonathan Miller. Jonathan is our guest today, and he represents the fourth generation of the Miller Hardware Company. So he's a proud Georgia small business resident located in Valdosta, Georgia, and serving the people of his communities since 1908. I have to say that is a wonderful year for more than one reason, and we can talk about that later.
Yeah,
but the company currently operates under three district divisions. That's Whitehead Industrial Hardware, Miller Hardware, and Seasons Garden Hardware. And so prior to joining Miller Hardware, Jonathan concentrated in finance and business from Auburn. We won't hold that against him. And he further matriculated his MBA from Mercer University. He's drawn change since entering the business in 2011 with notable initiatives that include omnichannel experience, intentional market segmentation, and the pursuit of state and federal contracting opportunities, which is why he is one of the examples of how he's here today. So he's passionate about community development and believes the future of our state and regional economies heavily lie with the nourishment of vocational education programs, which I love that. So he, through his company, has partnered with technical and industrial programs within the Georgia Technical University or college system. His strongest fuel for local economic growth and fervor is for Georgia-bred entrepreneurship. He strives to bridge the gap between state spend and small business and feels emerging small businesses should correlate the state requirements such as rapid accessibility, delivering at scale, impeccable communication, and technology integration. So Whitehead Industrial Hardware is a division of Miller Hardware, and they were recently awarded four categories of the state MRO convenience contract through the state. On the foundation of wholesale and retail hardware experience, this company has grown to its present status of being complete being a complete industrial supply distributor serving the industry of construction and municipalities. So we'd like to welcome Jonathan Miller.
Congrats. Welcome, Jonathan.
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Great to be here.
Absolutely.
Glad to have you. Now, additionally, we have two wonderful representatives from Lowe Electric. One is Jeff Hughes, who's the Vice President of Sales. He's a sales management professional with over 20 years in sales, marketing, operations, and logistical management. So along the way, in building a broad knowledge base in electrical communications, industrial lighting, and safety product applications, he's worked in distribution, manufacturing, and manufacturing representation roles. He is starting in the warehouse in 1997. That's when we start to tell on ourselves, Jeff, right? You're still a young guy.
And
from there in the warehouse in 1997 to leading half the sales force of the most respected independent distributor in Georgia, Lowe Electric Supply Company began in Macon, Georgia, as an electrical contractor in 1903. He is currently living his dream of mentoring the next generation of the Lowe Electric family with incredible peers in leadership. So welcome, Jeff.
Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you.
Next up, accompanying Jeff is Kelly Coppersmith. I love saying your name, whether I get it. But he is the government accounts manager, smart as a whip. Kelly has over two decades of experience in industrial supply, in the industrial supply industry. He's held a wide range of sales, marketing, operations, and entrepreneurial positions, ranging from Fortune 500 corporations to locally owned small businesses. And these positions have led him to focus and develop in-depth knowledge and expertise with government and public sector customers and contracts. Kelly has a passion for sustainability. Yay. Let's say that again. Kelly has a passion for sustainability. We need that. He's rolled out nationwide battery recycling programs, as well as helped customers create and implement award-winning energy, water, and green cleaning programs. So welcome, Kelly Coppersmith.
Well, welcome, all of you. And Talisha, just to give our audience some context of why it was so important to have these gentlemen on the show today, why don't you talk about first maybe about their relationship with DOS, and then we can jump into some questions from that standpoint.
I sure can. And actually, I'm just going to talk briefly because I would love for them to tell their story, because that's the beauty of this, to have them on so that they can tell their story. But they are the award-winning companies for the MRO contract. And so I'm going to let, who's up? I'll let Lowe or Jonathan, would you like to go ahead? Or Jeff, it's up to you guys. You pick. How did you guys meet, and tell us what's the MRO contract? There's an acronym in that for that. And how did that come about?
Sure. I'll be happy to start off. And to that point, MRO, maintenance, repair, and operations. So there's a lot in that space, but that's what this contract surrounds. But from my vantage point, and I'm eager to hear from Lowe's perspective as well, but this wasn't an overnight endeavor, and our journey started about 10 years ago, and I re-entered the business in 2011 after moving back from Atlanta, and read a headline that year that Grainger, who happens to be one of our competitors, realized 25% of the revenue through their .com business. So we knew we needed to kick the ball and get that division of our company started. So we began that project in 2011, and in 2012 we hired a very influential what would become a very influential mentor for me by a guy named Bill Filtz. And Bill was the director of business services, which included procurement at Valdosta State University, which is a local university. It's part of the Regents. system. And Bill retired after 30 years at BSU and was looking for some enjoyable work, and had a background in construction growing up and wanted to work at a hardware store. So Bill came on, and he had technical expertise as it related to e-commerce and computer and IT. And we kicked off our e-com channel at that time. But with Bill's background, you know, over the course of that 5 or 6 years, you know, his career centered around state purchasing for the university. So we were constantly talking about, you know, that space, what that involved, how these contracts work, the verticals to get through, that sort of thing. And Bill really kind of educated me along the way and told me what to keep an eye out for. And we started to hone in on some of the educational events that the SBDC offered. And
SBDC?
Office, yep. And on the state level. And self-educated ourselves through some of those seminars. And then it was 2013. We had an opportunity to compete for what I consider a rather large bid for GDOT. And, you know, it's kind of one of our first experiences, and we gave it our best shot, and lo and behold, we landed it. And we started seeing the carrot at the end of the road, and really began putting a lot more intentional focus in it, following this contract, following the expiration, and really jumped on it last spring. And did our due diligence, went through the process, which we all know is not a one-week deal. And throughout the course of this year, we've gotten to the point where we are now. Alicia mentioned we were awarded 4 categories, and we're still new, but we're very excited and place a huge priority toward it, and look forward to starting to do business as a small, you know, do business with the state as a small business to state relationship. And see value in that, see value in networking and trying to help other small businesses acquire some of that spend. So that's kind of where we started, where we are now. Hopefully that wasn't too much or too less, but that's kind of our backstory.
No, that was excellent. And can you further expound, Jeff, if you would, what are the 4 categories? Do you, you know, when they talk about you were awarded 4 categories, tell us what that means.
Sure. So there are 8 in question, and the ones that we are fortunate enough, privileged enough to be able, or to have an award with is material handling, hardware, outdoor garden and supplies, and then tools. So the state divvies up that MRO space into 8 categories, and depending on the items, that's where you essentially compete. And there's also electrical, which I'm sure Lowe is familiar with, but that's the space that we're going to be hopefully doing business in.
Excellent. So can you just repeat those again? Garden and supplies.
What they consider material handling.
Manual handling.
Hardware.
Mm-hmm.
Outdoor garden and supplies. And then tools.
Cool. Yes. Okay. I'm sorry, Paul, I just wanted to stress, you know, there are so many different divisions and ways to fit in and to find, you know, your industry within the state. And that's what we're trying to do so much is to really increase the small business outreach, increase the training and resources, and really simplify. Those are just some of the ways of understanding the procurement process, but also create opportunities and creating more opportunities for small businesses in every capacity and industry as possible. And so absolutely. I love the fact, Jonathan, that you, you know, stressed that or brought that to light, because that is important. Okay.
Absolutely. Yeah. And to that point, you know, Jonathan, you know, you talked about the story, right, and the process. So I'd love to hear kind of some of the same thing, you know, either Kelly or Jeff, kind of, you know, what was Lowe's been experience in terms of getting to this point? Because, right, this procurement process is typically a journey that you go on. So, yeah, we'd love to hear from your perspective, too.
Yes. Turn the lights on for us, Jeff.
So is it? So I'm in a room that has a motion sensor and I'm about 20 feet away. Can you not see me?
Yeah, no, we can see you.
I'm making a pun on your company, Electric.
Oh, okay. Right. So the lights are actually out in the room I'm in, but you can
see. Oh, really?
Yeah, you look amazing.
That was a good one.
That is a good one, though. I love it. So I started with Lowe about 18 months ago, and they were a client of mine prior to that when I was working in manufacturing. And in doing so, you know, I traveled around Georgia and around the Southeast. And what I noticed about Lowe, how they were different than other distributions, you know, being family owned, because our current owner is the fourth generation. His grandparents started it back in 1903, and it's evolved. And when he took over the company in 94, it had four locations. It started in Macon. The second location opened up in Sandersville, Georgia, which is a very small town. I don't know a lot of until I started calling it. I didn't know where Sandersville. I didn't even know it existed. And so what I found in traveling to all these branches that are in, you know, secondary and tertiary markets is that Lowe had an incredible relationship and tons of market share. And how they did it is their people, for one, is what did it. And then they were providing a service in these markets that were very underserved. And so I got to know them and really enjoy, you know, the company's approach while I was selling to them. And then when the opportunity came along to join the team, I wanted to take it to the next step. And in doing so, being able to hire the sales force, when I saw Kelly's resume come along, I was intended on hiring him to be an industrial sales rep because of, you know, his previous background. But a good bit part of that was government. And so when I saw his resume and then after meeting with him, I felt that he would be a great asset for us to try to go after government business in these rural areas. And knowing full well that Lowe had never had a state contract, you know, and the main reason why is because I think a lot of small businesses, we assume that if you're not in Metro Atlanta or you're really close, you know, to the capital, that you can't sell state government because that's right. Where all the money's being spent. That's where the bulk of it's being purchased. And, you know, thankfully, you know, we took the leap and here we are. And we found that it's exactly the opposite. There's a ton of demand and desire for state agencies in these rural areas to have somebody at least, you know, even pay attention to them. But the state contract for us, frankly, was a barrier of entry. When our salespeople, and Kelly and I both witnessed this in our travels, you would talk to a salesperson and, you know, so what's it like when you go see the Georgia DOT office or something, you know, along those lines? The first thing the procurement manager asks you is, do you have a state contract? And we say no. And then the window goes up.
Right.
Almost impossible to, you know, not impossible, but it's very difficult for every single transaction and so forth. So thankfully, Kelly had a lot of his success in his prior, you know, with the prior business he worked for, working with the state. And, you know, I don't want to tell the whole story because, you know, Kelly was a bigger part of it than I was the lucky one that hired him. And then he did everything else.
Ooh, nice.
We need some cheering noise then for Kelly then.
Right? Yes. Yes. Right. I was thinking more like we need, I'm sorry, a pay increase. I'm sorry. That's right. Enough. Right.
That's fine. No. I like where we're going with this.
Right.
Enlighten Jeff a little bit.
Right.
So to kind of follow up on what Jeff said, my background, I had actually worked for a company that Jonathan may have talked about previously. Much like Jeff, I had a long history there, starting in their warehouse, moving into what was called a site relationship manager role, and then into an account manager role that I was actually there when they created their entire government program. So I'm glad that's not me. That's not a
call. It must, hopefully that's the contract. That's just trying to call it come in. We'll pause. He can edit this out. We'll pause it for a second. Can you
Alicia, the look on your face is classic. This is hilarious. And it could all
this
be.
We need to, we need to,
this is fun for us.
This is why we need to do video on some of these. We need a blooper reel.
For sure.
And so, as we were saying.
Is that steam coming out of your ears?
Thankfully, Stone and his team are wizards, and they will never. Nobody will ever know that this actually happened.
So the last thing I heard was, "I need a pay raise."
Yeah, yeah.
Continue with that.
Hey, Stone, can you edit that out as well?
Right.
So where are the outtakes? Are we going to get the outtakes for this too?
Right. I think we need it for this one.
I didn't even begin. Okay, and so shall we carry on?
Yes, we shall.
We didn't mean to cut you off.
Oh, no. So we're good. So I had a pretty long history selling to state government and dealing with contracts. And to Jeff's point, when he interviewed me, we had talked about a regular account manager position. And, you know, I kind of got into the conversation about what they were doing with government. Bobby Cox, who's not with us, our other vice president, you know, kind of laid it out there that they really weren't doing anything at all. That wasn't really something that they had a few small customers, but they really weren't going after them. And so, you know, Jeff and I spent a week going to talk to the different account managers, and they basically all said the same thing, that, you know, the big vendors that had contracts, the big multinational companies were getting all the business, and in very few instances, they were even able to get their foot in the door. So, I mean, from the day I hired, my focus was on getting us a state contract. Because since I had worked for a company that had a state contract for the last 10 years, I knew how valuable it was. I knew what the impact was going to be.
I like that.
And I think some of the people, when we first talked, were very skeptical, because I think I told some, you know, that's my goal, get us on a statewide contract where we can perform. So that's how we ended up here.
Gotcha. That's good stuff. A couple of things that a couple of you mentioned, and I'd love for you all to kind of go deeper into this. And when we think about, right, engaging with the government, right, sometimes we think of this big monolith, right, or this big building. But it's, right, it's people, right, at the end of the day, right? But they're right. Purchasers and they're decision makers. So talk about your marketing and your business development strategies to actually start building relationships. Because although it's, right, a contracting process, it's still an engagement with the buyers, right, and other decision makers in that process. They got to get to know you and know your company. So talk a little bit about your approach to engaging those decision makers so that they can get to know your company better and trust, you know, awarding you a contract.
You want me to talk about that, Jeff?
Or
Jeff, you can go ahead.
We can start off, but definitely go hear from Jonathan and Jeff too. Yeah.
So, frankly, a lot of help in that was provided to us by the state. So soon after, I mean, actually, I think before Kelly even started, we had found out, or he had found the Small Business Symposium that was held in Dublin earlier this year, right. And he had found that and sent it to me.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, cue the audience.
Did you want him to say that again? The small business.
Yeah. Small business symposium. Cue the audience.
Okay. Can he continue now? You gonna let him continue?
Well, and that was really vital, actually, to us bidding on the first contract that we bid on.
Yes.
Yes. And so during that symposium, it obviously showed us a few different things. One, we did, so Kelly and I divided and conquered. There were several classes offered. So I highly recommend to those listeners, those small businesses that are going, at least two people need to go, if not three, so you can divide and conquer and make sure that you can attend all the classes. You know, going forward for a while, it may be virtual, but when we get back to doing in person, I think that was great because I went to the marketing one. Kelly went to the DOAS website. You know, we divided and conquered and then compared notes after the fact. And one of the things that I thought was very helpful in terms of marketing is, which is very simple and I think often forgotten these days, is a flyer, basically telling you who you are.
Right.
That flyer, you know, we're going to be using it basically as like ID, like our driver's license. We're going to walk, we walk in, you know, introduce ourselves. And the question, like I mentioned earlier, are you on a state contract? Well, yes, here's my ID. and the state contract number on it. You know, basically on the back, it's going to have a directory of all of our locations. It's going to have contact information for Kelly and I, or, you know, Kelly and so on and so forth. So that's one simple step that you can leave with folks. We're going to have it on our website as well, our general website. And then we also realized that, you know, the website, we being a, you know, being a small market company, you know, we're not a $7 billion multinational, so we don't have some huge marketing team putting this together. So
gotcha.
The marketing team is me and our COO. And we get to spend about 3% of our time focusing on that. And so that being said, you know, we had to come up with a different way of doing this, you know, and rebuilding our website because we never put any effort into it. So thankfully, we have some resources that are knowledgeable in our industry that helped us out. So we reached out to those. You know, we were blessed to actually have industry specific marketing firms that knew our lingo, you know, and so forth. So that implementation, Kelly did 99.9% of it, but I would imagine with those assets, it made it very helpful to him for us to be able to pivot our marketing strategy.
Absolutely. It's interesting. And I'm glad you mentioned the fact that you all are a small business, right? You're not a multi-billion dollar corporation, right? Because the audience is small business owners. And so it gives them hopefully encouragement to know that you don't have to be huge, right, to do business with the state. And love to hear, again, Jonathan, you too, and your company, how you all approach that process.
Yeah, absolutely. In addition to what Kelly and Jeff mentioned, you know, after the award, we pretty much took a vow to take advantage of every opportunity presented to us. So whether it's an opportunity like this to come on the radio or to be introduced to someone, just trying to take advantage of anything that comes our way. We have invested a lot of time and energy toward our capability statement, to their point. So a physical flyer that we'll hand out. And Jeff mentioned it earlier, but being in these, not only being a small business, but in these mid-sized markets, we have a lot of established relationships. And really, you know, we've been selling to GDOT. We've been selling to the prison system. We've been selling to the university and the technical college system, but really on a peripheral basis. But now, you know, we're on the field. So we're trying to go back to all of our established relationships, getting point of contact for that procurement person that's kind of on the next level, that's spending in you know, high volume, and making our introduction, explaining where we're at, what we've been awarded, and finding ways to make business easier for them.
Absolutely. And Talisha, you know, I know with your interactions with those individuals Jonathan just mentioned, you know, procurement officers and, you know, contracting officials and end users, you know how important it is, right, for those relationships to be built, which is why you advocate, you know, for small businesses to do that.
Absolutely. And that's why I love working for the state purchasing division, is because, you know, that's what they're there to create, training, resources, and opportunities to sell for small businesses, to sell those needed goods and services to those state, you know, government agencies. And so we love the fact of connecting the small businesses to them as well. And that's why I was so fortunate when I first came on to DOAS, they were kicking off their inaugural Small Business Symposium. So back in February of last year was the very first Small Business Symposium. And because of its success, despite having to go into, you know, quarantine through the likes of the pandemic, that we also created the virtual Small Business Symposium and, you know, were able to offer that just this past November. So it didn't stop, you know, and that brings me to even ask, you know, more about how has your marketing strategy been, you know, and not only how was it pre-COVID versus how have you changed or pivoted your marketing strategies? You know, I can't say post-COVID, but during COVID, because now we're in 2021 and we're still in the midst of it. And so, you know, I hear you guys talk about you connecting with other people, and you had been connecting. You, Jonathan, you mentioned you, you know, had a relationship established with GDOT. You guys, Low Electric, had relationships established, but how has your marketing adjusted or changed, or how have you pivoted during this COVID environment?
So one of the things that, if you don't mind, Jonathan, you mind if I jump in real quick?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one of the things that we did is, you know, going back to the age of the company, you did not only it's great in one aspect, but also change is difficult when it comes to something like that. And our business, you know, and I assume Jonathan, where he is similar, like he alluded to earlier, is a lot of relationship driven. And so when we in the past would reach out, you know, have our sales reps, we'd reach out to them saying, you know, we need email addresses so we can send customers, you know, e-flyers and promotions and so forth. And they would hold all that information tight to the vest and didn't want us to have it because it was their contact information, not our contact information. And so what they learned really quick is when you can't go and see the people that you have these relationships with, you have no way of being the resource that you were before. So thankfully, we've been able to, you know, we've come up with different ways of doing it. One, out of pure necessity that they finally realized. Two, we've also ran promotions. We've started running promotions like one that we'd call Kill It and Grill It, where you could, you know, win a shotgun or win a grill, and a customer just, you know, fills out the form, or they, you know, put a QR, it's got a QR code on it, and they can register, and all their, you know, email address, you know, information goes straight into this system. And now so
could you win both at the same, I mean, that way you could kill it and grill it.
You can kill it and grill it. Yes.
You got both. Is
the guy who
really, yeah, it should be kill it or grill it.
Has the grill.
Nice. Sorry. That's pretty cool. I mean, it's creative, yeah. Right? Yeah, it's neat.
And so we've done that. You know, that's really probably it took us a while to get to that point, but we also launched a CRM system. We never, you know, our ERP system that we use is very robust as far as operations, but it's very inferior in terms of contact, you know, information, gathering contact information. So we went to a CRM that works really well with our ERP system. And we're beta testing it now. It's taken a year for a litany of reasons why it's taken this long, but that's going to be launching. And we're taking that, all that contact information from Kill It and Grill It and loading it in here. So when we go and send out promotions, you know, it's going to be so much simpler. So we've really been intentional about getting individuals' contact information, because the young man coming in and wiring an electrical outlet right now is going to be owning an electrical company in 10 years.
That's right. Okay.
We want his information all the way down to the installer.
I love it. I love it. Kill it and grill it, Paul. Why didn't we think of that?
I don't know exactly. They might hear that. Did you trademark that? If you didn't, you might hear that again somewhere.
We're going to start hearing that one on the radio, right?
Right.
On every podcast we listen to.
Right. that sounds like a podcast, right?
And then they're going to start using turn the light on, shine the light on. But okay, speaking of which, I want to ask a question for what you're saying. You're saying, you know, it sometimes they do hold businesses or, you know, people hold their information close to their vest. A lot of times, even small businesses, B2Bs, they look at one another as competition. Versus as a resource or versus a partnership. Right. And again, I go back to the symposium and what DOAS is doing. And that's something that we really promote is, you know, network. Network does not just mean I'm handing out my business card telling you about me and you should call me because I can do the business better than my partner sitting or the other business standing next to me. But it networking means, hey, I'm sharing with you what I can do and you share with me and maybe we can partner together and serve a larger, you know, entity or do a greater service. And so I want to ask you, and I would love for you to tell them, I shouldn't say I ask, I know. I want you to tell the viewers and listeners, how did this joint venture come about between Jonathan, you with Whitehead, and Jeff and Kelly with Low? I don't really know if we kind of really focused in on that or told that story, but I would love for you guys, Jonathan, to share how your joint venture came about.
Well, yeah, I'll try to field that question, Talisha, because there's really not a real strong correlation in terms of any sort of joint venture there. You guys jump in, correct me if I'm wrong. I feel like our markets parallel one another.
Yes.
So our experiences are probably similar, but in terms of coming into the state contract, we were on two different paths, kind of converged after the award, coming together through some of these SBDC opportunities. And I'm very fortunate and happy that I've been able to connect with Kelly and now Jeff. But the two companies really attack this at two different angles.
We don't have a relationship besides being awarded the contract.
But that being said, and Kelly's right, and Jonathan's right, but that being said, we also work in similar markets selling, Jonathan has relationships that we don't that need electrical products, and we have relationships that Jonathan doesn't have that need his hardware that, we sell a decent amount of hardware, obviously nothing near what, Jonathan does, but Jonathan can be a resource for us in those areas, or a provider for us to sell to, customers that he may not have relationships with. So that's the beauty and where this is become can become a joint venture, even though it's not, we're not actually putting his product on our shelf or vice versa.
There is definitely realistically an opportunity for us to talk about working together on projects. All right. So I kind of like where that's going.
Yeah. Even if it's not state related, no offense.
Right.
State related. It's related. It's related. We're in the same state. And
it is.
Right. But you bring up a good point though. Because a lot of businesses, whether it's a legal joint venture or just a partnership or like I said, just complementary business, right? Sometimes these opportunities, you end up meeting other people, other businesses. And once you kind of analyze each other's business models, right, you can kind of see some things where, like I say, it could lead to future opportunities, right? And so that's kind of where you keep your eyes open all the time, right? Just looking for unexpected, opportunities from that standpoint. So, as I kind of think about that too, what also kind of makes me think about as we kind of get ready to maybe wind down a little bit here, people sometimes think about procurement. If they haven't done it yet, they may think about the contracts and the language and understanding the RFPs and all of that. Did you all have somebody in-house that helped you with that? Or what was your approach just to making sure you understood what you were reading as you're going through the bid process? And then even after you won a contract, right, some of the terms and conditions that you have to abide by, in executing the contract.
My piece of advice there is to ignore the intimidation and just bear down. I had a great, great piece of advice from a colleague of mine who he services GDOT in a construction manner, but he was familiar with state contracts. And he told me one time, he said, don't be afraid to pick up the phone, call your category manager, always ask an open-ended question. Don't give them an inroad. So whenever you're trying to learn more and figure your way out around these angles, always ask, something that's open-ended, something that's going to require a deeper explanation. And that piece of advice went a long ways with me because it's like you guys said, it's still a people relationship. So you got to find those right contacts and you got to be willing to engage those conversations and find ways to extend them.
Excellent.
Definitely.
Kelly, do you want, because I know that you are a translator wizard as well. Do you want to talk a little bit about the language that you encountered in those contracts or in the bids?
So I think Jonathan had a great point. There are a ton of resources out there with the state. They were always willing to answer questions. I did have a pretty long history working with the contracts, but you just have to, number one, and when I was preparing for this, going through my notes, the number one thing, number one piece of advice I'd give anybody is you need to start the day that the bid comes out. You need to A, know what's coming out and have an idea of when it's coming out. And then B, you're never going to have enough time. You have to just slowly, methodically go through it. This was not the first contract that we had bid on. We had bid on another one that we had lost, but I learned a lot of valuable lessons from that one, just understanding how much time I was going to have to take to go through everything. So it's a detailed process. It's not an intimidating process. Just have to be prepared.
That's a good question to go back to say, Kelly, how many times and Jonathan, if through your companies or your experience or even, you know, anyone that you know, how many different times did you bid on a state contract or, you know, how before you won this one, how what did that look like? Was this, you know, fresh out the gate and you got it the first time, a lucky shot, or, you know, tell me either one.
Our experience, you know, our first go at it, we developed a team, and to Kelly's point, you know, we gathered the material, we had the information in front of us. We didn't get it on day one. It was our first time stepping into this, and we were essentially overwhelmed with what we had to decipher. We had a lot of hands in the pot, and if I took anything away from that first time, it's to properly delegate and even take it on yourself to make sure things do get done properly. But this was our second, you know, attempt. That first go around, we ran out of time. We couldn't get a professional submittal together in time. So this second go, to Kelly's point, we had the date, we kept a close eye out, we got to work right away. And, you know, we were fortunate enough to get to this spot.
May I build upon that real quick?
Sure. Yeah.
Specifically in regards to the one that Kelly, you know, bid on, you know, and did a lot of the lifting on that one as well. That was, I believe, a convenience contract that we ended up not getting. But to his point, you know, he kind of had a template created that assisted him, you know, that he didn't have to do all that work the second time. But what I thought was so amazing, and I really appreciated, because I'm a child of two state employees. My dad worked for the DOT and my mom worked for the Department of Labor, and I'd hear their frustration in some way. But it was amazing that how much feedback and how much advice and back and forth that Kelly received. And I forget the gentleman's name. I don't want to get it wrong. So I'm not going to guess how much input he gave. And that, I think, better prepared Kelly, you know, for the next go round. It just made him so much more prepared.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay, well, then I will ask one last one, because I know we're going to jump off, and I want to talk a little about what's coming up at DOAS when with the state, more opportunities. What would you be willing to say to a small business, or how would you, if someone were looking for a mentor, if a small business was looking for a mentor, what would you say in order for them to know that their business is ready to fulfill a state contract or to determine if their business is ready? What would be those words to them to place in their heads or to prepare them if you were to mentor or have a final word to a small business?
Well, I'd first say that you need to be focused.
Okay.
And know what you're looking for. Definitely. For us, it wasn't a matter of just going through DOAS's website and just seeing what we could pick out. We knew what we were good at. It was fortunate that contract came out when it did, but we were very focused on what we wanted to achieve.
Good. I like that.
If that makes sense.
Absolutely.
Well, in addition to that the contract that we bid on had, I believe, was it 8 or 12 categories, Kelly?
I think it was 8.
And then and we were under the impression when we went to the symposium in February, we were kind of under the impression that you had to be able to bid on all of them. And we knew that wasn't possible. But the symposium gave us an audience with the state to be able to ask that question. And they immediately were like, no, we want you to bid on just the one you're good at, if that's all you can bid on. And that changed everything for us. Right. That was the light switch, Talisha, that turned on when we were at the symposium.
Love it. And Jonathan, you want to add to that?
Yeah, just to piggyback, you know, determine your strengths, get intentional and focus towards those. You know, the highlights of the requirements, you know, rapid accessibility, expect high volume, you know, be ready to integrate some technology. So those are all, or all were, you know, long-term goals for us. And we've slowly chipped away, and we felt like we were in a very competitive stance to be able to go after this and just get to work on what makes your business better. And it'll correlate what's required.
Good point.
Good stuff. Good stuff. Well, great time spending with you all. Definitely great insights that you all shared. So I know our audience is definitely going to be impacted by this. I know Talisha had a quick announcement to make with some incredible training opportunities come up for small businesses.
Yes. So I just wanted to thank again the two companies, Low Electric and Whitehead,
Jeff,
Kelly and Jonathan. Again, I'm so happy to know and be a part of, you know, the symposium and DOAS and bringing all of you together or providing information on one of our platforms in order for you to feel confident enough and know and understand that you can win. And so DOAS, in addition to the symposium for last year, for this year, 2021, we have decided to kick off a new initiative or program, which are the DOAS, Georgia Department of Administrative Services, Small Business Procurement Readiness Workshops. Procurement Readiness Workshops for small. Woo-hoo. Yes, cue the music. Okay. And these are, we want to share new information. For the longest time, my teammates and my members of the training staff have been providing information on how to get registered in Team Georgia Marketplace, how to search bids. They've been doing orientation trainings and providing that information for many businesses through all different ways, supplier debriefings or supplier orientation, supplier webinars. And so now we want to give more new in-depth information on how to do business with the state of Georgia. And these upcoming, it will be a virtual event, virtual procurement readiness workshops, focusing on building procurement knowledge and business readiness to successfully participate in that procurement process. So we will have small business owners such as Jeff, Kelly, and Jonathan, who will share their success stories. We'll have procurement officers who will also share best practices, because we realize that small businesses need to thrive, you know, even more in this community. So the website to put in your application and to register, you must register. In order to register, it'll take you to the application page where you will need to fill out an application that is a nominal fee of $99, but it kicks off February 4th. It's a 7 modules to conclude with a certificate. As a small business champion, I call it, you're going to be the small business champion award, that you're going to finish this program and you're going to have, you know, the information that you need. Like the two companies said, you want to stay focused, you want to determine your strengths and stick to it and to integrate some type of technology. And we want to help you do that. We are in collaboration with our educational partner, the University of Georgia, Small Business Development Center, Minority Business Development, and they will be a part of it. You will also be connected to their training page as well. Once you click on and register, please visit the doas.ga.gov. Website, navigate to our small business page, and you will see the information there for our small business procurement readiness workshops. What did I say it was, Paul? Small business
procurement readiness workshops.
Workshop, because we want to get them ready. Okay.
Absolutely. Do business.
You're going to be ready to recognize your strengths. You're going to be ready for 2021. And so please be a part of it. We are offering it again. It starts February 4th. Registration is going on now. There is limited seating and spaces, but you know, with the success of this program, as we are hoping it will be as the symposium, we plan to kick off another one as well. So that's our hopes, and thank you.
Thank you, Talisha. Thank you to our guests. And unfortunately, we have to get ready to go. But those readiness workshops are going to be incredible. So thank you also to our audience for listening to this episode of Small Business Fuel. Our goal at the UGA SBDC is to provide you with relevant resources, practical tools, and training and resources to help small businesses grow and succeed. If you would like to connect with us to get one-on-one help for your business, we have business consultants at 18 locations around the state to assist you. Please visit us at www.georgiasbdc.org/Atlanta to get connected to the office at Georgia State University. Until our next episode of Small Business Fuel, please stay safe, healthy, and profitable.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com.